Hi, this is Christopher Rudy. Since I'm new to BBS Radio, I've provided some background information on the website for BBS Radio. Just click on the Cosmic Love time slot, and it will pull up some profile information with links to subjects I'll be talking about. The main part of this show will be my story on the path. That is a link on the profile page with photographs that go with my story. And before I launch into this background story on where I'm coming from with this cosmic love thing, let me share some highlights from the larger theme of cosmic love that I'll be building on. I'd like to think that Forrest Gump ascended to higher spiritual realms of divine gumption, saying things like, cosmic love is what cosmic love does. It's true, of course. This is the flip side of the same coin that says stupid is what stupid does. Cosmic love is indeed a better standard for doing what we've always done and getting what we've always got. And the higher the concept of cosmic love, the greater the results. So let's take it from the top. Let me ask you the question, what is the most powerful thought form in the universe, the archetype of cosmic law and the blueprint for one's ascension, as well as the ascension of the planet? That would be taking it from the top. Some of you know what I'm talking about here already, but for everyone else, I'll give some clues. Some of the clues are on the profile page on the BBS website. But first of all, the clue is a thought form that has 3D, 4D, and fifth dimensional guidelines. And these guidelines frame the universal law language of cosmic love between the lines. Here's another clue. The structure of this thought form is the gold standard for consciousness. Are you aware that the molecular structure of a molecule of gold is a cube within a cube? Have you ever heard the Ascended Masters refer to the concept of the cosmic cube? Have you ever heard of the Ascended Masters? Anyway, if that's going too far for you, let me step it down to a concrete example of frequency and form. Those of you who have heard of Dr. Hans Jenny may know of his research with vibratory plate physics 30 years ago. He demonstrated how the frequency of different sounds could create patterns in a thin layer of sand on a metal plate. Likewise, the universal mantra Om, when put through an oscilloscope waveform generator, creates the ancient Hindu Sri Yantra Mandala, which is like the master blueprint of Tibetan and Hopi sand paintings. You might say that this ancient spiritual art form of sand paintings is a two-dimensional version of the multi-dimensional cosmic cube. In other words, there's a geometry to spiritual art. I refer to it as the art of spiritual geometry that is directly connected to the universal laws at the foundation of science. Some of you may know of Dan Winter, who is a brilliant pioneer in this field and has shown that the fractal geometric patterns created by sound are the source of the original Sanskrit characters of the alphabet. Dr. Len Horowitz, I worked with him years ago as his communications director in Sandpoint, Idaho. He has further corroborated the secret mathematical code in his book, Healing Codes for the Biological Apocalypse. And this is the lost Pythagorean scheme that's coded in the original alphabet. And this relates to the harmonic frequencies for healing with light and sound. Edgar Cayce also provided the code to the codes, you might say, with a series of readings on the universal language within three geometric forms, three geometric pure geometry forms behind all the numerological and astrological glyph symbolism, you know, the symbols used for numbers and astrological glyphs. What I'm talking about is the pure geometry code that is a common frame of reference to the language of the written word, mathematics, and the cosmic logic and astrological symbolism. These principles, these geometric principles, are holistic, and to be more exact, they are holographic, operating in all dimensions at once. Now, how this works in the laws and language of consciousness, and what I call spiritual practicality is largely what I'll be talking about this show. These three geometric thought forms frame the infrastructure of the cosmic cube. The cosmic cube will be, you might say, the key archetype principle of this cosmic love frame of reference. These geometric thought forms are the first principles of universal law that, in fact, frame the universe and all creation. They are very real thought forms that you can use for the expansion of consciousness. And you might say that these pure geometric thought forms are the simplest of all formal constructs for the geometry of divinity that frames the creation of all that is, not only in matter, but also in spirit. These three thought forms are the components to the fourth dimensional capstone vision of cosmic love that is the gateway to the fifth dimension. Now, these concepts may be rather abstract, but there's a different ways of saying the same things that comes around to a, might say, a spherical consciousness of, or a common sense of what I'm talking about. And I weave these concepts in different ways to basically massage the message. It's maybe getting ahead of my story, but if you want the rest of the story, pay attention with pure intention. Believe me, attention pays if you utilize this thought form for expanding your consciousness of how you are conscious. If you choose to do so with pure intent to know better, your good conscience will naturally evolve to do better. Conversely, when we make choices unconsciously, we evolve unconsciously. It's the difference between a rudderless personality that reacts unconsciously to collectivist, politically correct groupthink as compared to a mature, self-directed soul that is proactive with conscientious common sense of a cosmic love nature. This common sense may be uncommon, but that only makes it more valuable. In fact, the common sense of cosmic love is the most precious commodity for self-actualized growth and the evolutionary ascent of one's soul. So that's kind of the preface to the story that, as I mentioned, I have linked on the BBS profile page on cosmic love. This is a story of synchronicity regarding the invisible hand working behind the scenes. Some would call it a higher power, but I've come to know it as cosmic love. This is amazing, but it's a true story. I know because it changed my life with the kind of drama that initiated my lifelong journey on the path. So this journey began with an inner discontent with college life. It led me from a study in architectural engineering at Ohio State University to a study of the archetypes in the collective consciousness. Carl Jung, I took a class in modern psychology there at Ohio State, but more importantly, I was really getting into study on my own. I've always believed the best education is self-education, and I was reading Psychology Today and Readings in Psychology Today, some books they put together on you might say, movement pieces in psychology at that time. This was back early 1970. My fervent intent to know the building blocks for inspired spaces on the outer, you know, as in architecture, led me to the understanding of the building blocks for inspiration on the inner. There's a quote by Krishnamurti from a book, I believe his book called On the Path. And he said that the prayer of desire is not seldom the prelude of the revelation. It was actually in deep meditation and prayer for direction at this time in my college life that I had a dialogue with that small voice within, call it conscience, that began answering my big questions about the deeper meaning of life. As simple questions were answered, and enthusiasm for more accelerated the process to an understanding of the golden thread, core maps of consciousness, you might say, weaving the fabric of civility that have always guided the evolutionary ascent of humanity. The masks of God. I have a link on the website regarding Joseph Campbell's works with man and myth, and the masks of God, which is basically an understanding of these core maps of consciousness and ancient and modern maps of consciousness that have guided civilization. And I have a link there with more information on it. But anyway, this process of self-talk that I went through at that time culminated with a big question. So what do I do now? Which was immediately followed by a voice of higher power, as I have never heard, saying, all things follow from the universal language. You'd have to have been there. The experience was a process that led me to this revelation. And since my study of universal archetypes had brought me to an intellectual understanding of the golden thread of wisdom uniting our core maps of consciousness, this voice of higher consciousness was telling me what I already knew at some level. And there's an expression, you can't tell anyone anything they don't already know at some level. And what I experienced next, though, took it to the next level. My back arched as energy shot up my spine from my base to crown chakra, and first I flashed through my past like a near-death experience, and then I saw into the future with a kind of future memory, a knowing that trumped all aptitude with my soul contracts can-do attitude. In other words, I transcended my prevailing awareness of what I guess you would call personality to a soul awareness or an attitude that had pure intent for more, you might say. Anyway, the sense of bliss, wonder, and bright light in my consciousness immediately passed when ego popped back into this life review with the thought of, I'm really there. The consequent sense of falling into outer darkness and then letting go of the outer to let light within just be. And internalize an awareness of a balance of powers that the human ego is ultimately accountable to. Anyway, this was no ordinary life-changing experience. I began seeing auras around people and knowing what they were going to say before they said it. And then it irritated everyone, of course, but it intrigued me, and I determined to pursue this path of understanding what I was experiencing. I was quickly led by curiosity to places where I could get my hands on books dealing with the mysteries understood by mystics, seers, and spiritual visionaries throughout history. One of those books was The View Over Atlantis, which explained how geomancers throughout history have created sacred sites where the geometry of a celestial and terrestrial interface nurtured an interface of higher conscience, especially at the solstices of the year when the energy grids we're at a repolarization balance point. An example is the different temples, like Chartres, in England, on the ley lines, and these different temples, it was explained in The View Over Atlantis, these different cathedrals, the steeples was a focus up over the pulpits, and there was an energy focus there, and quite often underneath of the pulpits underground they had chambers that had layers of organic and inorganic matter that were like organ generators, that they had initiation rituals during the solstices when the celestial and terrestrial energies, the terrestrial energies from the ley lines, the celestial energies from the alignment during the solstices, that there was an energy convergence. And how much of this was ritual and how much of it was, so to speak, magic? This is again, the point where cosmic love of the inner and the outer, where there's a dynamic there. And that's just one example that anyway, this had a lot of meaning to me at that time, the view over Atlantis. It made a lot of sense to my newfound intelligence, and I soon after discovered a modern-day mystery school in California where I was determined to go for better understanding of my experience and my unpopular gifts. What happened next can be read at a website link I have, and I have that on the BBS link profile page where it links to the On the Path story. That's at heartcom.org/netreality.htm. That's more of the story that goes in depth of what happened after I had this experience. The point is that this path is not for the faint-hearted or the weak-minded. There's nothing extra about effective sensory perception when you've got it, but when you do have it, normal has a different meaning. So I reference these different pictures on the left, which is kind of like a photo journal recording of my trek to what I believed was the mountaintop source of knowledge regarding my, you know, spiritual experience or spiritual heritage. I traveled what I call first class, putting out an open hand that encourages the Good Samaritan people, which is to say I hitchhiked from Ohio out to San Jose, California. I didn't have much money, but I had even less fear because my intentions were pure. But little did I know that this journey would lead me to one of the most bizarre synchronicities of coincidence that I've ever experienced or could imagine possible. So there's some pictures, camping on the Oregon coast, registering for classes at the Rose Croix University, the campus there, an egg and meditation. I had some really amazing experiences at this mystery school. And when I arrived there, I discovered that the classes were in session with subjects like mental world that I signed up for. Since I got my parents to cash in their life insurance policy on me before I left, I had just enough money to pay for my schooling and for a local boarding house dormitory with classmates. They're from all over the world, a wide range of seekers and what we would call indigos who are also on the path. To say this mystery school experience was an exceptional confirmation of a higher power at work in the world is an understatement. As my classmates shared some of their extraordinary mystical experiences between classes, it became self-evident that there was far more to this world than taught in secular schools. And we had some extracurricular activities, different things that we did where we, you know, together with my roommates who were from all over the world, really interesting people. And one experience, we went into San Francisco, the Haight-Ashbury area, where one of my friends, this guy was just out of George, was just out of the Peace Corps down in Chile, and he took several of us to a metaphysical bookstore there in Haight-Ashbury, and there was a lady about 75, 80 years old, elderly lady, giving a class on phrenology, on all the features of the face, with big flip charts and like a 5-minute talk on each feature of the face, the size of the eyes, the spacing of the eyes, the bridge between the eyes, looking whether the eyes were like looking for love or different shapes, and the whole meaning of in the face, the size of the nose, the width of the nose, the projection. You're talking about 5 minutes on the nose, on the eyes, on the jaw, on the mouth, the flare, I mean, it's like the ears, the spacing of these different and an in-depth thing on what it meant. And then she went into readings from the beginning, from the front of the class working to the back. She would do like about a 5-minute reading on people from just looking at their faces. And this was an amazing enough experience. It was just amazing to see how the laws of consciousness are written in our face and our inward parts like this. And people were just about falling off their chairs as, you know, she gave a thing about how they were and who they were from just reading their faces. And she got back to one of the, my classmates, Aneg, who's in the one picture, Aneg from Nigeria. And Aneg had a very wide bridge between his eyes, and he had extraordinary gifts of precognition, just knowing what things, knowing what was going to happen before they were happened. And she got to him and remarked on what, you know, extraordinary gifts that he had. And I was kind of blown away by that because I knew him. And then she comes across to me and asked me to take my glasses off. And I think this lady read auras also, but anyway, she asked to see me after class, which kind of freaked me out. And I don't know about you, but when people know more about me than I know about myself, it made me a little uneasy. So I split out of there after the class, but I'll never forget how amazing it was that faces can be read at that level of depth. Anyway, that was one of the extracurricular activities at this school. You might say that you become naturally more open to extraordinary coincidences when they become serious about the path to understand the mysteries of cosmic love. I'm going to get more into these coincidences, synchronicities, and that the more you get into a cosmic sense of universal law language, the more conscious we become of how we are conscious. The process naturally involves and evolves enthusiasm for more of a conscientious common sense that's uncommon. Call it effective sensory perception or whatever, but it's a form of self-fulfilling prophecy to the extent that you get into it. And this is what I refer to as the path that reflects and perfects a connection with a higher power and a greater wisdom and cosmic love. It's the same for net reality and civilization at large as it is for an individual. The cosmic love we discern for ourselves is the cosmic love we become. The Holy Spirit of love and action is forgiving, and we can't give, obviously, what we don't have. That's why discernment's the first gift of the Holy Spirit. When we get it, we graduate to public service at a higher level of synchronicity and alignment with the cosmic scheme of things. And there is an invisible hand. And everyone does have a different soul contract, a different divine plan. And there is a principle whereby when you understand the laws and language of consciousness, principles of cosmic love, it becomes more self-evident what one's divine destiny, divine plan is. Anyway, as I hitchhiked home from Boulder, Colorado, I looked up, hitchhiked home through Boulder, Colorado, from San Jose. I looked up a friend who had moved there from Ohio State University, and I actually considered moving to live there myself. I just really liked the town, Boulder, Colorado, in the early 70s, the campus there, the university. Anyway, one evening I went walking in the neighborhood to get the feel of the community, and I walked up to a house where the meaning of God and country came to me in a way that is just beyond synchronicity as I ever knew it. What happened was I walked up to a house. There was two milk trucks that converted, I guess you'd say, into hippie vans, and a guy, construction workers actually, were living out of them, but they were visiting in this home. And a guy, and I just walked up to this, to the walkway going up to the house, and just then this guy and this girl came out, and he had a bandana on, construction worker, you know, and then came walking out to where I was and said, "Hey man, what's happening?" And I'm just standing there. I just didn't know why I was there, just kind of tuning into the neighborhood, but standing there, just told him briefly that I had hitchhiked out from Ohio, out through Yellowstone Park, up to Glacier National Park, out the west coast to the to Seattle, down the West Coast to this mystery school, and back through Lake Tahoe, and here to Boulder, Colorado, and here I was. It just kind of spilled out like that, and he said, "Far out, man." And I was about to, just make my way elsewhere, and I looked down. This girl with the guy had a medal pinned onto her blue jeans, and I looked at it and I said, "Well, where did you get that? That's a Boy Scout medal. That's a God and Country medal, and that's the Boy Scouts. They have different God and Country medals for different churches. That's one for the Methodist Church. Where did you get that?" And she goes, "That Glacier National Park." I said, "At Valley to the Sun Road?" She goes, "Yeah." I said, "At the foot of a glacier?" She said, "Yeah." I says, "Oh, man, I lost that when I was shoe skiing on that glacier on the way out there." And, then, of course, we all just freaked. She started taking off. She says, "Here, man, it's yours." And I said, "Oh, I'm not going to forget this. You'll get a lot more out of it. You hang on to it." And there was a lot of resistance at that point, and I don't know where I was coming from. I figured I never was going to forget this, but I had her keep it, and the next day I ran into her, and there's that picture on the website, on BBS radio profile page on the path link. It has a picture of her, and you can click on that picture, and it'll blow up and show a picture of that medal on her blue jeans still that she was wearing. And this is the second time I ran into him. Incredible coincidence. Second time, but the first time was just, off the charts. And so, I said, maybe I was supposed to have that medal back, and I got that back. And, I spent quite a few years in uniform as far as Boy Scouts and Eagle Scouts, and as an Eagle Scout and Explorers. And so, I carried that medal, that God and Country medal, in my pocket of my chamois shirt, pretty much all the way out hitchhiking out to the mystery school, wondering what this God and Country thing means. And I kept it over my heart. It's like this was the path I was on. I was on the path for the meaning of God and Country. And I run into these two people twice and get this medal back. And I can't say that I know exactly what God in Country is. I think of God in terms of cosmic love. I think of country in terms of global village, the instant everywhere interactive connection that we all share in the new world of the internet. Because there is no time or space, it's been removed. And you might say this experience, this synchronicity, set my sails. It just opened my eyes that there is a purpose and plan that the masters know and serve. And at any one time, I can't say I know exactly what that is, but there are these signs. There is this synchronicity. There are these coincidences that open my eyes to so much more. And there's a truth that there are no coincidences. There's truth to that there are no accidents in the universe, unless you believe that everything is mechanistic, pre-programmed, and etched in stone with some kind of a lockstep, subservient mindset that you can't escape. And there are times that I think the human condition is that we all get caught up in the nurturing or the conditioning or the programming that we've had, and we are more reactive than proactive. But there's a belief in law and order without freedom that's just as dangerous as one's free will choices in life that are so open-minded that your brains fall out. In other words, there's a whole balance between law and order and freedom. Too much of either one. Law and order without freedom is tyranny, just like freedom without law and order is a kind of anarchy. And there's the point of balance, which is the whole issue that I will be going into with this subject of cosmic love. The whole issue is really a balance of power within us, and where that conscientious small voice of wisdom dwells. So that's basically the experience that set my sails for a path of lifelong learning of the mysteries of higher power, cosmic love, the mysteries of all that is. And I thought I'd give that background story first as kind of an orientation to what I consider and have come to understand as the blueprint for cosmic law. And then I've come to understand with this love model, this geometry of divinity, this law of the angles, this language of the angels, I've come to understand that it is this relationship of the two, of conditional love and unconditional love, and how we both have the nature and the nurture aspects of our being that frame an ongoing prevailing awareness of co-creation, from how we've been nurtured to our core nature. And this, as we become more conscious of this, might say, left brain, right brain switching, or you can just relate it to the principle of the Divine Mother and the Divine Father, or the Alpha and Omega principle within us, that there is this principle then of the combination or the co-creation or the synergy of the two on an ongoing process. And how that relates to self-mastery, self-knowledge, self-healing, self-elevating salvation, as you might say, self-perfection as ongoing evolutionary ascent. Obviously, we're all on the path to the extent that we're have pure intent to get it right this time around. So I wanted to give the story background as what has been since then an amazing journey. And I've tried to smell the roses along the way. But like I said, this journey is not for the faint-hearted or the weak-minded. It's like the whole world, the worldly world has a certain enmity with the path of upward mobile evolutionary ascent. And I've come to understand that the path of evolutionary growth, evolutionary ascent, comes back to frames of reference that help us become more conscious of how we're conscious. And again, there's those principles, whether it be our astrology, our psychology, our inner child, our inner family, our inner sense of who we are, how we've been conditioned. As we become more conscious of that, the languaging of our own, one's own psyche, it's much easier to become sensitive to that process that everyone else is consciously or unconsciously going through. Everyone is either consciously or unconsciously evolving also. And as we become more conscious, we become more sensitive to that languaging of consciousness. It's like a sensitivity to others with their languaging to where we can speak to them as though they were speaking to themselves. Now, I haven't obviously mastered that, but I'm working on it, and you don't have to be perfect to speak of perfection. The process is a universal process, and there's universal principles that frame that process. I feel that I'm safe as long as I'm orienting to the universality of the principles and the processes so that people can connect the dots in their own way once they get the basic understanding of the frames of reference for the first principles of consciousness, of the laws, the language of consciousness. That's what I'll be going into with Cosmic Love. I'll be going into that more. And there's more of a story, what happened after I came back to Troy, Ohio, and how within 4 years I was speaking to 10 agencies of the federal government on Capitol Hill. That story regarding the bicentennial era, 1976, how the United States was preparing to celebrate revolution, the 200-year revolution. And the organizations, the People's Bicentennial Commission and the other organizations back then that were looking to the first principles that the U.S. founders, the first principles of the Constitution, the first principles of freedom and opportunity that the U.S. founders initiated, and a way to upgrade them, our horse and buggy legislative system with an electronic upgrade of our freedoms of speech, assembly, and petition government, and what that would look like. And that was the presentation I gave on Capitol Hill after giving a presentation to Buckminster Fuller's World Game Studies workshop, a month-long workshop that was earlier that summer in 1974. And some people heard me there from the World Future Society and the Committee for the Future and asked me to speak to these 10 agencies of the federal government. And the story there is another one of those kind of archetypal stories with a level of synchronicity or serendipity, call it coincidences, that made a statement about God and country at a level of how we are being represented in government and how we could be represented better. And it comes back to this story of this understanding of cosmic love. And individual or civilization can rise no higher than their concept of love. So this is going to be the theme, the ongoing theme of cosmic love. And there are three reasons why I'm doing this talk show. First, there's this vision of cosmic love I'd love to share with you. Second, I can't think of anything better to do. Third, imagine what an uncompromised vision of cosmic love would look like. What it could do, not just for raising the standard of sovereign consciousness individually, but also sovereignty, not just for any one country, but for all countries. I mean, it is a global village now. There is no time or space. It's been eliminated by the instant everywhere interactive internet. So imagine what that could look like, how that could work, how the vision alone could be the catalyst for a self-fulfilling prophecy, how cosmic love could geometrize a universal interface for global communication over the instant, everywhere, interactive internet. Imagine that, or try to hold that thought from how this would work. I'd like to give you a preview of what that could look like. And I'd like to go into that a little bit more. And I'm not sure if I can give that vision to where you really understand the principles if I don't go through more of the holographic nature of this universal law language, these frames of reference, these geometric thought forms. I know it's a new concept and rather abstract. Some of you, I'm sure, are into the spiritual geometry or the geometry of divinity, or and you know, I've been maybe studied it even far more than I have. But at the same time, there's a way that that can explain this that'll help, and that's there's a primer on cosmic love at the heart of the big shift is one of the first article links I have on the BBS radio profile page for cosmic love. There's also another article that gives some background on the big shift that's in process now, and that's another good overview. Perhaps the orientation to the geometry of divinity as frames of reference for the language of consciousness for involving and evolving consciousness would be the link on heal thyself, which is the products of the process, and that concept of it all begins with you. You can't do anything for others until you basically, you can't give what you don't have. And so this understanding of cosmic love on the level of self-mastery, self-awareness, self-discovery of these processes within your own consciousness with self-assessment tools, self-mastery tools and processes. It goes into especially the first two, what I refer to as the spiritual and the mental products. Spiritually, your bioenergetic profile, the cosmic clock, the understanding of the cosmic clock, cosmic astrology on a standardized frame of reference. Worldly astrology is kind of backwards and upside down from this. What's understood in the mysteries is the cosmic clock. It's a standardized frame of reference that worldly astrology can be organized on to understand the fire, air, water, and earth, or the spiritual, mental, emotional, and physical dimensions of being. So that, even just reading about that and the understanding of that concept of we're in the universe and the universe is in us, and there is a method to the madness, you might say, that there is a divine order, there is a geometry of divinity, there is a frame of reference to basically get a grip on one's bioenergetic coordinates, one's energy profile, you might say. And the value of that is, again, how this all relates to one's psychology. And again, the psychology of Jung relates to these same first principles, you know, the one's spiritual self, mental self, emotional self, physical self, one's four lower bodies. That's the second product or process, the mental, and it's your book of love, your profile of self-mastery, and that understanding of your own self-assessment profile, you know thyself on the level of taking inventory of what you have to work with, and then plugging in your pure intentions to do an interaction matrix, you might say, with what resources, gifts, and talents you have, and then what you can do with them. And that process of basically knowing better to do better, to become conscious of how you are conscious with a self-assessment profile of self-mastery, is a complementary tool to the cosmic clock, cosmic astrology tool, because one is more objective and mental, that you do it yourself. So it's your own self-assessment that is your criteria for, you might say, assembling the components to your own capstone vision of who you are and what your developed and undeveloped areas are. There's no weakness in this regard. It's just everyone has their more developed areas and their less developed areas. And a tool and a process for taking inventory in that regard is priceless for basically writing your book of love, you might say. Cosmic love, is only what you make of it, what you understand and how you write it in your consciousness, being, and world. So that process of self-assessment and self-mastery with this tool, that's again another link on the profile page on the BBS Radio website for Cosmic Love. And then there's two other products there. One corresponds more to the emotional body, and the other one corresponds more to the physical body. The physical body being a Swedish flower pollen extract, which is nature's most perfect whole food concentrate and the richest source of genetic material for genetic repair of your body. You know, the body is the temple of the living spirit, and we've all our cells are replicating. You know, every 7 years, every cell in the body replicates, some faster than others. But the point being is that the pollen extract is, I brokered that into the United States for about 10 years. There's a story on that with the link there. And I've had three holistic health centers, and I found this to be one of the most priceless nutritional whole food concentrates for jump-starting the immune system and for the body healing itself. And as far as it provides more precursors, prostaglandin precursors, hormonal precursors, that the body you can't OD on. It's just like beta carotene is a precursor for vitamin A. The pollen extract is an extraordinary precursor for all the hormonal components for the body's regulation of itself. In other words, the hormones regulate everything in the body, and the different glandular centers correspond to the chakra centers. So I reference the pollen extract as a good tool in this regard, and a tool for basically jump-starting your immune system. And the other product I was referring to emotionally is your the emotional body is the water body, and there's information on that link, which is the Heal Thyself link on the profile page for healing your biological terrain with bioenergy water. Now, there's an amazing story on this water, and this is another key component, the idea of bioenergy water that's got energetics in it that work with the emotional body, and how that works in the biological terrain. And there's an article there that goes into that more, and I'm sure some of you will find that more interesting than others, but that's something that I use myself to clean up my system. About once a year, I'll go through 5 gallons over a couple months period. And the effect that water has is explained in the article. It has some colloidal silver in it, but the key thing in this water is the frequency. And the story on those frequencies and how they create the energy in this water and how that works in the body, in the biological terrain, called the frequency of violet flame or Holy Spirit or 3 octaves of B flat or whatever frequency, you know, that you want to refer to it. The understanding of what that does to the biological terrain and the microorganisms and parasites, whether they be bacterial, fungal, or viral, and how it slows down the replication with a kind of a, what I call, parasite paralysis, and how that works to basically cause a gradual kill-off and cleansing through the lymphatics of the physical body through this water and the frequency in the water body, which is what, 80% of the body. So the biological terrain, the key to one of the real keys to healing, it's not what you eat, it's what you assimilate. And what we don't assimilate well, digest well, for lack of enzymes or whatever, congests the biological terrain, the intercellular terrain, with undigested trapped plasma proteins and other undigested, you might say, crap in the body that feeds microbial infestation of all kinds. A lot of them are submicroscopic, but this biological terrain, the submicroscopic microbes, you know, are like the plankton for the whales, which is for the larger stuff on a microscopic level, you know, the fungus, the bacteria. And cleaning that up, cleaning up the biological terrain is a huge factor. And there's some things that do it fast and make people sick. This is gradual, just drinking the water a few times a day. And how that works is a huge thing on the body, just like the pollen extract is a huge thing, you know, on a more physical level, glandular level. So there's information there that I think is, you know, really relevant to, you know, holistic health. And it again relates to these four archetypes, these four universal principles, spiritually, mentally, emotionally, and physically. They're all interdependent. I mean, the body is the temple for the living spirit. And we do have these bodies, you know, everyone has usually one body that's more dominant than the others. Like Jung said, that one of the archetypes, thinking, feeling, acting, knowing, you know, spiritually, mentally, emotionally, physically, one of those archetypes is usually dominant and one then recessive. And to understand what bodies we are working off of, whether we work off the mental body more so or the emotional body, you know, a lot of men feel what they're thinking and a lot of women think with their feelings. And, you know, once we become conscious of that, and understand how our physical body is a function of that, and our believing, thinking, feeling, and acting is a function of that. It really comes down to this importance of know thyself and understanding, you know, what it is that what dominates this process of self mastery, and I mean how to best, you might say, dominated with consciousness of how we are conscious. So this is pretty much the first show. I've just got a couple minutes left here. And if you would like more information, you can email me at geonotes, G-E-O-N-O-T-E-S, at mcn.net. If you'd like to have more information about the products or services that I provide from that one web link on Heal Thyself, I'll be glad to answer your questions. I will probably develop a small news group of people that have questions that would like to, they can be anonymous on it, but I would send information for one to all without naming their names, so that basically I can answer more questions for everyone without being repeating the same questions over and over. So if you'd like to be on that list, you can email me at geonotes if you'd like more, you know, the question answered list regarding cosmic love, and be in the loop then with news releases with my regular news group at geonotes if you'd like to be on the list or not or whatever. But I'll answer questions like that to anyone's who'd like to be on that list. So I like to keep in the loop with those who are listening to the show, and I look forward to this next show where I'm going to get more into the Prime Directive. There's a link on that on the PBS profile page for Cosmic Love. It's at the bottom of that page. And on that show, I'll also be going into what happened in Washington, D.C., and how that's a direct parallel, what was going on in Washington, D.C. back then, 1976, with the bicentennial, to what's going on with the Internet in the world and this whole basically revolution in the collective consciousness of humanity on the planet right now. The parallel and understanding, you might say, the parables, the modern-day parables, the modern-day parallels to cosmic love, to universal love, to universal law, language, principles that the founding fathers looked at for checks and balances, and how those same checks and balances can work today. That's what I'll be going into more in the next show. And hopefully by storying around this parallel, this modern day parable, that the highest principles of common sense can be anchored in the collective consciousness, and a new American revolution can hopefully jumpstart the same process in our global village for the family of man. So that's what I look forward to, and I realize I started off a little rough, but I look forward to getting better at this as I go. So thank you for listening, and I look forward to doing this again.